What's your type?
What's your type?
What's your type?
What's your type?
Welcome back to the podcast. This is What's Your Type podcast.
The podcast about why we want what we want and why we do who we do. I am your host, Sarah Hartshorn.
And I'm your other host, Tyler Mead. And joining us in the studio apartment today, we have comedian.
And
documentarian.
Well, it's more of an expose, we've realized, than a documentary.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I guess I hired someone because, like, this year I was, like, not getting shit done. So I had to, like, well, also I just couldn't sit down to write it because I couldn't realize that. You know, the whole, I was like, oh, whoops, got assaulted again. Maybe, probably.
Okay.
And, but I hired a writing coach. Probably. Oh, sucks.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It was just shitty to realize. I was like, oh, my friends were like, Lindsay, because when I sat down and I said it, I was like, yeah, I wasn't, like, eating or sleeping. I was like, this is like assault. And my friend was like, Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I was like, again? What is it when you're a woman and you get assaulted, your friend tells you 18 months later? Does that happen with gay men? Do you find out 18 months later?
No. I think sometimes with gay sexual assault, there tends to be more like injuries because of going in the back door.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time when you are forceful in that way, it is not great for the receiving partner.
Right.
And there's like a little more evidence in a this. I sound either horrible or uninformed or both, and I'm so sorry. But,
I mean, I do think that realizing many months later is a common.
No, thing. It's pretty normal, and that's like part of the reason why I decided. I was like, oh, you have to talk about this publicly.
Yeah,
I was like, you didn't, because both times I'm like, well, you know, both men, I didn't like realize what happened, and I dealt with it by like staying friends with them and like trauma bonding and being in denial. Like, hey, best friend, you would never do that to me.
I want it on the record that no, I wouldn't. you look too deeply into my eyes.
Exactly. It's like not, it's, I don't know. So that's why I was like, you have to like make something about this. And then just, you know, all the deranged shit that place did. I was just like, okay, well, I guess now it's an expose.
Wow.
On that. But before it was just an expose on how I got raped.
And I feel like
you could have just left it at that, guys.
Yeah.
Starting on a real light note.
I know, right?
So, but I do, just to be a pedantic bitch, I do feel like exposés are documentaries, but not all documentaries are exposés. True. Does that make sense?
Exactly. So Desi was like, it's more of an exposé because I don't fucking know.
I buy it. I believe it.
Right.
It sounds like it.
But we'll see. Should be done soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But the point is, you can still call yourself a documentarian.
You think so?
Yes. Absolutely.
I do like that, honestly. Yeah.
Especially with your hair in a ponytail.
Yeah,
I know, right? I'm just so sweaty, and I'm like, I don't know what I look like right now.
That's why I'm like, this is why I've been doing podcasts, is because
I'm just like, Lindsay, you're just going to ramble a bunch of weird stuff about rape at the beginning, and no one wants to hear.
I mean, we do.
Listen, rambling a bunch of stuff about rape right at the beginning kind of describes my comedy career, so
don't worry about it. I mean, mine too now. Which is fun.
Yeah. I have some things that I can joke about sometimes and I can't joke about others. Because if I'm not okay with it and if I'm not in an okay place with it,
pick up on if you're not okay with it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we're sad for you. So it's like, I'll only do certain jokes depending on how I feel like that day.
100%.
If I'm like, oh, I feel, because I did write like jokes about it like right after, and jokes about like the other thing too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like can't do them right now because I'm like balls deep and like trying to turn this thing out, so I can't be like, oh my god, like, and then I got to,
yeah, what's the deal with what's the deal with rapists though?
I've never felt more like male party on this podcast than I do right now.
I know. And you know what's weird? I don't even know what to call the guy, because I was saying took advantage, and I'm just like, what do I say now that I realize that's, I mean, I guess it's still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's what I can't decide. Well, I can't decide what word to use in the, I guess, the exose. I'm like, do I say assaulted? Do I say taken advantage? everyone told me is salt. And I'm just, I'm so confused.
I'm gonna go, I don't know. Whatever you think feels right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's also, I'm sorry, it's a little crazy if anyone ever is like, no. Like,
yeah.
Like, it
but
would be
I think,
crazy if someone else told you what to.
Well, no, but I think people are going to be like, no, that's what's so interesting about what I went through. And part of another reason why I'm working on this is because, like, the rapist was, like, really clear cut, black and white. And then this is like, I don't know. To me, it's pretty clear cut. It's like, you knew I wasn't eating or sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew how poor my mental state was. You knew I'd been rejecting you sexually for years. I was literally crying to you about how I got raped.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not really the time to come on to someone.
Yeah.
And you're
predatory.
And you're my boss.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very
okay, that aspect.
It's super predatory.
Predatory is a great, I think it's a great
It's super
word.
Predatory. And like I in my opinion, he has like I'm not the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like and then he was such like an asshole to me after. I'm like, so this is very like that's why I had a manic episode, though, because it would have been too much to realize that I got. I mean, I guess, yeah, that's fucking aside. That's like I want to say taking it because that's the thing. Like everyone will believe me about the rape. It's like that's black and white. This I feel like if I say assault, but that's what it is to me.
Right.
That's why I like had a manic episode. That's why Trump. I'm like, that's why that happened is because to me, it's assault.
Right.
Like I'd been rejecting this man for years.
Yeah.
Well, because for me, the thing is, I'm like, if someone would have never. Touch me sexually if I wasn't mentally incapacitated.
Right.
What is that? What is that? And it's like out of, you know, I've done a lot of drugs. I've done a lot of alcohol and done a lot of alcohol. I've been drunk.
I don't like to brag, but I do a lot of beer.
But like when I was in like shock from like fucking getting raped. I was yeah. like fucking, that's the most mentally incapacitated I've ever been. And it's yeah. like, why are you coming on to me when I'm crying about the fact that I got fucking raped when you know I don't want to fuck you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you really think that's when a girl is like, actually?
Yeah.
And so I, like, to me, that's assault. But I think when I say that, there's going to be a lot of, like, especially men who are like, but is that? It's like, you did it. And
yeah.
it's like, right. And that's where even I think we as, like, millennial women, you remember when Gen Z told us we all got fucking raped in the late 2010?
Yeah.
They were like, you thanks, all got.
Thanks, Gen Z, by
thanks,
the way.
Thanks, Gen Z.
Thank you, Gen Z, for that. Thank you for helping us understand.
Right, but they were like, you all got raped in college, and we're like, no, we were just fun sluts.
Yeah.
We were just fun
yeah,
sluts.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
That was a bummer, and I think that's something, like, I've really had to, like, a pill I've had to swallow as well, because, like, the rape has actually raped me more than once. I hate to brag. Amazing pussy. I have to tell you, this experience has taught me I never wonder whether or not men want to fuck me. I never wonder that.
Also, can I tell... So my joke about being molested. Just, no, I'm so okay. My joke about being molested was that the good thing about someone wanting to fuck you when you're a little kid is that you never have to wonder for the rest of your life. You can just check that box off. Like,
oh, right.
I've gotten so much stuff done because I've literally never once wondered if I was fuckable. Not
I'm,
for one
I'm
second.
Not going to lie. I do walk around with a different confidence since it all happened. I'm like, and you know what happened? That was really funny. It broke. Like, this is when I was like, no, that was my best friend in the whole, I'm just fucking, I'm a stupid. You're like, that's how I do it. I'm like, you're my best friend. You would never do that. Your best friend would do that.
That's why my best friends are gay.
I'm like, my friend wouldn't do that.
A straight male best friend?
When I told my dad that. Sarah, you'll think this is so funny. When I told my dad that the, I guess, manager assaulted, took advantage, whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said to me, it's, I don't know what to use because I don't want men to yell at me and be like, you're wrong.
They're gonna.
Right. When I told my dad that, I was like, Dad, I thought he just really cared about me as a friend. And my dad looked at me like I was Forrest Gump. He was like, my daughter is mentally handicapped. What is wrong with her? 37 years old and she thinks men want to be her friend. He just looked at me like I had just been like, yeah, Paul, you know the earth is flat.
The earth is flat. My best friend would never.
We were in a coffee shop and he just looked at me. And it was like Gregory's Coffee on fucking Park Ave. He just looked at me like, were you drunk on the head?
Well, he would know. But this is the thing. Like, again, for anyone who's listening, I don't think I've often been this speechless on this podcast, but I was going to say, you have kind of always had this effect on me, because you're one of those comedians that I remember the first time I ever saw. Like, mm-hmm. I have a crystal clear memory of where it was, when it was. Like,
thank you.
Because it was a show Mateo was doing at
Mateo
Lane.
Oh!
And it was, like, him and his friend. So it was Christy Cello, Sydney Washington, I think Marie Faustin. And I think they put you up for, like, the check spot. And I
probably
remember I hadn't started comedy yet.
What year was it?
2018.
Oh shit, yeah, I was well, yeah, if it's that show, I was definitely just doing checks.
Yeah.
I was doing guest spots then, but that would have been checks.
And I wasn't doing comedy at this point, but I had it explained to me what like a check spot was.
Yeah.
I remember like I was in it with the understanding of like, oh, a check spot is hard. And I remember watching you do the check spot and like doing really well, and I was just like, "Oh my god." I was like, she's so funny, and like you weren't even advertised on the show. And I remember asking Mateo about it afterwards. I was like, "Who was that?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, Lindsay's funny. Like she's great."
Oh, Mateo, I don't think he knows who I am.
I think he does.
Oh, maybe.
He did then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did then.
Yeah, he was. Look, you had been in front of him in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He knew who you were to that extent. But like,
I kind of remember that show.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I also remember it was the first time I watched like someone I thought of as like a really legit real comedian, Chrissy Cello.
Oh, she's so funny.
And like,
oh my
eat
God.
Dick a little bit on stage. And it was
oh,
so
really?
Funny. Because she turned it around.
She is so funny.
She's amazing. Ugh. But I think she did like two new jokes up top and then just ripped a page out of her notebook. And she was like, nope, I'm never going to do this again. You're going to hear the same 5 jokes for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I've done that. That's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, never mind, none of this works. Especially if it's darker jokes, you're just like, oh, am I just depressing these people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what is, am I just like, is yeah. this, is this just like, are they just look, because sometimes they'll look at you, they're like, are you okay?
Yeah.
But also sometimes when I'm doing those jokes, I'm like, am I okay? Like, are they, do they have a valid point?
I've been,
that's
I
why
remember,
you start by like sneaking them in.
Right. I remember being one of the people laughing during an Adrienne Lapalucci set. Cause
she's so funny,
but if the crowd doesn't get it, they aren't always the fastest to like pick up. But
yeah.
Like I was just dying from the start, and it was a lot of people being like, oh my god. And I'm just like, I've had to explain to friends who I've brought to comedy shows too, where they're like, oh no. And I'm like, one, take your hand off your mouth.
Right.
They're up there.
Yeah.
For you to laugh. It's okay for you to laugh at anything a comedian says into a microphone on stage. That's the point.
Yeah. Right.
Although I will say one time I once at a show laughed during Stavros's setup for his joke where he goes, I'm fat and bald, and I laughed.
Oh, and you laughed at that? That's a little mean.
And Marie Faustin like appeared out of the crowd because she's so small. And she just, like, looked at me, and I was like, oop. And she was like, you laugh like a bitch. and she meant it, like, you laugh like a mean girl. And
yeah.
Then she laughed really loud and was like, okay. And, like, that was my moment. But it was just, it was so funny. Also, yeah,
I mean, he is fat and bald.
Well, that's his joke. He was like, I can't be toothless, too. That's two queens.
I always wish I could do comedy as a fat, bald man, just to experience it. Or just a fat man. Just a fat man.
Yeah.
I want to watch it. No, I was like, I want to watch a fat man do my jokes, but they would do so much better. It would make me angry.
Brendan Segler once said something wildly like attuned to me about this, where he was just like, and I told him this years later, and he was like, I think I was drunk for that because I do not remember saying this. But he was once like, man, I'm just so not jealous of you as like a gay comic. And I was kind of like, excuse me? And he was like, I feel like you have to work so much harder for people to think that you're funny, because he was like, I get on stage and they're like, oh, a dumb fat white guy. This is what I've been told is funny my whole life. And he was like, you get up there and it's like you're explaining stuff to them and you have to like win them over. And I was like, I didn't realize straight men thought about that, because no one's ever vocalized that to me other than women, people of color, and gay people. And I was just like,
well, Brendan's,
that's nice of you.
Yeah, Brendan's really sensitive and like perceptive to things like that, I found in my experience. Like, he like fucking gets it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so much harder because like even I've noticed, have you noticed as a woman, if you're dressed nicer, it's harder?
It depends. It depends. Because I also now, like now that I am like fatter, I have to dress nicer, or yeah. else, like, whatever it is, I have to address it. I have to address how I'm dressed. So, like, in either direction. But it used to be when I was like younger and more like just naturally polished. Like, I
well, you have a kid now, so you have exactly it's so much.
And when I, yeah, when I like it was easier to like leave the house and be put together.
I just remember as like a closeted kid in middle school seeing Natasha Leggero perform on Comedy Central for the first time.
Oh, I love how she dresses. Exactly. I want to do that. When I start really doing stand-up again, I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm going to dress so nice. Nothing matters.
Because like her comedy album, she comes out in like a really, I think it's like Dior even. And she's like, sorry about my outfit. He's doing yard work. And it's just like, it's such a cute joke, especially coming from her, because the rest of it is like heinous and mean, which obviously, again, as a closeted gay person, I was like, I love her. I'm obsessed with her and Chelsea Peretti. And that was like the first inkling of like, ooh, like there's comedy that isn't just straight dudes talking about something I don't relate to.
God, I don't know why. This week I've been thinking a lot about... I was doing an open mic, and I'm pretty sure it was a Laughing Buddha open mic. Yeah.
I haven't done one of those since before the pandemic.
Me neither.
Oh, you know what was a sad day? You know what was a sad day?
What was a sad day?
I was like, oh, Lindsay, you have to get the rapist banned from everything. And, you know, he's banned from The Bad Place. And I was like, I emailed Laughing Buddha and Comedy Fight Club, and then I was done. I was just like, oh, that's everywhere he gets up. That was a dark day.
That's so funny.
That was a dark. I was like, oh, you're done, Lindsay.
That is a dark day, but it's beautiful as well. There is right.
And one
that.
Of my friends was like, we have to tell the other clubs. And I'm like, he doesn't perform at them. Yeah. He only performed at this one because he ran a show.
That is,
you know,
very funny.
It's like he didn't run shows at all of them.
Well, make a hard pivot. And one that might even border on, you know, slightly inappropriate based on the tone of the rest of the episode.
No, go for it.
Lindsay, what's your type?
Oh,
type?
Yo, I will say this, not short. Both of those men were my height. Get the fuck out of my face. 5'7".
Okay.
If a man's not over 6 foot, if I'm being honest, I got to play it safe. 5'10", if you've passed an FBI background check.
Okay.
FBI background check, you can be 5'10". Other than that, you better be 6 foot.
What do you consider 5'10"? What, like, is that
like,
short or
like,
tall?
Oh, I'm 5'7", so I consider 5'10" to be...
Because I'm exactly 5'10". I tell people I'm medium.
Yeah, I would say medium. Yeah. I would say 6 foot is...
Tall.
The
I think that's the universal tall.
Universal.
I'm 5'11", so I consider 5'10" almost always a lie. They are almost always 5'8".
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Well, I'm 5'7", so I know when men are like, oh, I'm 5'7". Oh, no, when they say they're 5'8", and I'm like, oh, that's weird because you're my height.
I am 5'10".
I believe
you. You are 5'10". I believe you.
No, her being like, whenever a man says he's 5'10", that's a lie.
I'm so sorry.
No.
I should have specified straight men on dating apps are lying if they say they're 5'10".
I have terrible news for you. Gay men, also huge liars about height.
They lie?
Shocking.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Oh, my brother lied on his dating app.
Yeah.
Is your brother gay too?
No. He's straight and married, both of them. And my brother, who is 5'7", said on his dating apps that he was 5'9". And you better believe his now wife showed up to the date and was like, excuse me?
This is what I'm saying.
I once told a male comedian to take that he was 5'7" off his dating app, and he got so upset. And he was like, why? And I was like, I don't know. Just like, he's like, I'm not getting matches. I'm like, yeah, you fucking, you're 5'7" in your thing.
Because.
Just like take it off and win them over with your personality.
Because also if you see someone say 5'7" on an app, you assume that they are 5'5".
You assume that they're like 5'4".
See, now we're playing a dangerous game because we're playing.
Will you fuck men who are shorter than you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm also a top.
Oh, yeah. So that makes sense. I don't trust them anymore if they're under.
Well, I actually, my preference is in all forms bigger than me. Like, I like taking a man who is physically more imposing than me.
Oh, really?
That is, like, my biggest thing.
Oh, interesting. So, like, fatter than you?
Give me fatter. It's usually more muscly.
More muscular.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's since I was, like, in college, I was like, oh, I don't even have to go to the gym to, like, beat you up.
Right. So, yeah, I would say that, the height thing. And I'm also, like, good dick. I'm done with bad dicks. Mm. And, like, good at fucking. I'm done.
Can I?
They have to be
good.
Can I ask
I'm done
clarifying
with that. Questions on those two?
Yeah, of course.
What is good dick? What is good fucking? Beyond consensual.
Consensual is pretty much for me that's good at this point. Step I'm one. Like, I have sex and it's consensual, and I'm like, this is the best sex I've ever had in my entire life.
That's nice.
Like, I fucked this guy and I'm like, this was amazing. This was the best sex ever.
He probably loved you.
Oh, he loves it. And then I don't know. You know what's so weird? I have pelvic floor dysfunction. So this is so funny. So
same.
You have that too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so fun. It's guys are like, guys. No, I'm just kidding. I'm being sarcastic. Men are like, your pussy's so tight. And I was like, thanks. I have a serious medical problem. It's a really serious. It's debilitating. I go to physical therapy. But you know what's funny? It makes me like the Goldilocks of dicks because I don't like it if a guy's under 6 inches. That's like a sad. That's sad. That's mm-hmm. sad. It does something to their ego. And it
does.
Right mm, it really just does. Like it leaves a mark on their psyche. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, I swear to God, being under 5'10 leaves a mark on the psyche.
So does being bald.
Yes.
I mean, no I won't say bald, because bald can be people, guys can't. It's funny because like every time a guy goes bald he just ends up kind of jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or fat. And but I will say the guys with the receding hairline who won't let it go,
yeah
That does something to them. Like,
but it's the not dog. Letting go that's doing something.
Exactly.
If they let it go.
But that's what I mean. Bald is not always an indicator of poor.
Oh, it's poor it. Confidence. Well, all it is. This is what I'll say with bald. I agree with bald. I agree. It leaves bald. A mark on the psyche. But it is if they're okay with it.
Yeah.
And I think like if they're just like letting it recede. I feel like when they shave the head, when they're completely bald. Then yeah. it's not, because then they're okay with it.
Yeah.
They're like, look at this. Like, some men look really good bald. Look at yeah. Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men don't. Like look at Prince William.
Not to give a heterosexual comedian a compliment, but we do know one straight guy comic who looks really good bald, and I think he's bald. Dylan Palladino?
Oh.
He's also like 6'5", though. So like he doesn't.
So how do you even see the top of his head?
Yeah,
then?
No one cares.
I honestly never even noticed that he was bald.
He's
completely bald.
Since when?
For years.
Yeah, a long time. He totally shaved his head.
But did he have to? Was it receding?
Yes,
but
yeah, he used to have great hair.
He did pull the plug earlier than a lot of guys do.
And it works for him.
And that works for him. Yeah. My question is, why doesn't Prince William get hair plugs?
Like, why did Prince William let that go? He was so hot. He was so hot.
All the money in the world.
He was so hot. Why did he not? Have you seen pictures of him? I analyzed when he stopped being hot. I went down a rabbit hole, and it's like he started to lose the hot in 2007.
Okay.
And by 2010, it was just gone.
Can I ask you, pre-2007 Prince William, would you say that's your type? Like blonde, handsome.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is another thing. Like I said, it's like the height. And I feel like I used to fuck guys who were like less attractive than me. And again, it's just like, it's not that I'm like, oh, you're not hot or anything like that. But it's like the ego. It's the way they reflect their ego. Does that make sense?
No, I can't.
And I'm just like, I can't anymore. Like, it's like, I can't. I'm only, like, I can't. I can't, yeah, yeah, I can't yeah. deal with your fucking insecurities.
I am not attracted to a man unless he is like borderline cocky. He has to be pretty.
Oh,
pretty full of himself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like going forward. I'm like, I'm only fucking men who are secure about like their height, their looks, like stuff like that. I'm like, they're dicks. It's like, and when men are good at fucking, that's what I meant. Like, I only want to fuck men who are good at fucking because they're secure with themselves.
All their ways.
When a man is when a man thinks he's bad at sex, it's like they're gonna be like a fucking volcano.
You started saying Goldilocks of dick, and you were
categorizing
what
it is. Oh, yeah. So six. I feel like 6 inches is anything under 6 inches is too small. It's just, you know, it's just, again, it's just, I'm like, I think it's more about like, just like their psyche, the way they like project their insecurities onto me.
But how big is too big?
Like 8 inches is too big for me.
Okay.
So it's getting too big. So the pelvic floor dysfunction.
Yeah. Is girth an issue for you or no? Can they go as wide as?
Ooh, good question. I don't like it when it's too thin, but like
a skinny dick is a
skinny
bummer.
Dick is really sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's really sad. It needs to be like a good
mm-hmm.
Yeah, skinny dicks are sad. I always feel so bad for men because you're just like, you're fucking, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing, yeah.
But some men are fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, also
how big is your dick? I'm just kidding. You don't have to tell us.
I'm not going to start a podcast that my mom, I think, listens to. But, you know. I do fine, is what I'll say.
Sorry, you can edit that out.
No, I'm not going to. It's very funny.
You look confident. You seem fine with yourself.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Yeah. I wouldn't be sitting here listening to you trash dicks if I wasn't like checking.
Oh, is this meme?
No.
Should I not?
No. It's very funny. Again, okay. I'm just fine.
Well, I'm just like, I feel like I've suffered so much with men that I just.
Okay. Can I ask you a very fair question regarding this?
Yes.
Do you not think men are severely critical of aspects of women's bodies to a point where it's dehumanizing and unfair?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's the other reason. It's fine. Right.
Everybody's doing it.
Like, right. And I'm plus two, like I said, it's more just about like their fucking.
Also,
overall.
With some of the stuff we have been talking about, if you don't want to fuck someone for any reason whatsoever, bar like, say, racism or like anything that's like rooted in bigotry, that's actually fine. You don't have to fuck anybody.
Also, here's the thing. People, the racist thing is something interesting that I've thought about a lot because, like, people do get weird where they're like, well, it's just a preference. It's just a preference. Like, I just don't like trans people. That's just a preference. And I'm like, okay, to be fair, we should all be working on those biases and those preferences and we should be changing them. But if you are the thing, if you are the whatever that someone doesn't want to fuck and they don't want to fuck you for a racist or a prejudiced reason, you should not fuck them.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Like, I mean, if someone's like, I don't like trans people, so I don't want to fuck them. Trans people should be like, good. You know what I mean? Like, or like if someone's like, oh, I don't like to fuck a certain race because of this racist thing. It's like, well, then you don't deserve to. I don't know. I always am like,
well, I remember like it's been probably since I think 2016, 2017. Yeah. But the shift on what it's okay to say in a person's Grindr profile.
Oh, shit.
Maybe also I was just like in the South too, so it was a little different.
Yeah, yeah. It got more politically correct or less.
Moving here. Yeah. I mean, it's got, because now like gay guys call each other out if they see it by posting it on Twitter for clout, which isn't great. But I mean, the old thing on Grindr that white guys used to put on their profiles all the time, no spice, no rice, no fats, no femmes.
Oh, shit.
No brown people, no Asian people, no Indian people, no fats, no one who acts feminine.
Oh, God.
And, like, it became very, I mean, like.
What a lame party.
Right. And also, I was, like, 18 looking at Grindr, seeing that and being like, what the fuck are you guys talking about with no rice? And they were like, oh, it's actually something very racist. And I was like, so why is it on your profile if you know that? And they were like, oh, I thought it was funny. And it's like. Ugh.
No, you didn't.
We were in college, we had to be like this big. People were so critical of women's bodies in the 2000s.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, millennial women, we were just all getting raped and couldn't eat when we were in college. Yeah. Hard times.
Can I ask who would, if you had to cast your type in a movie that you were also starring in, who would be your co-star?
I don't fucking know. Okay. I have no idea. Now I'm worried that I was too mean about men's dicks.
No. Very nice.
Was I too mean about them being bad at sex?
Honestly, no. I think.
Or short?
I yeah.
You're like,
I did say a lot of things, but it's just, I'm just tired of dealing with insecure men.
Yeah. And you don't have to.
Yeah, no, I don't have to.
I also feel like, I don't know. For me, like, the size thing is less of a big deal. I think because I've had sex with people who have vaginas. So, like, I don't need to get, like, rammed with a huge dick. I love a big dick. It's
great. But not too big. Then that's like a health hazard.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I think I'm tall. I'm very tall, but I think my vagina is like 5'9". Like I'm 5'11". But so what? Like I think my vagina is like 5'9". Like it's slightly shorter. My vagina is slightly shorter than I am.
Okay.
I feel like, I don't know.
Well, if you have pelvic floor dysfunction too, it's like you can't fucking.
Yeah.
You can't fucking. Like I had to like. Yeah. Yeah, when I started having sex again, it had been a long time, and I was like, oh, shit, this thing is fucked up. I had to go back to physical therapy.
Yeah. But I would rather have an attractive penis than a really big one. You, like, symmetrical, smooth,
oh,
pretty,
for sure. Yeah. That's
like,
way better.
Like, you know, sometimes when they're, like, weirdly big in the middle?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't care for that. That's not pretty. And that's not fun to, like, put in my mouth, you know?
You know what's sad is when it's, like, thick and short?
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, it grew in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It's like,
but I feel like you can still physically, you can have a good time with a short.
Oh yeah, one. Of course. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you know, of course you can.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, you can have a good time.
I sound real convinced.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I hooked up with a guy for a while who had a really like short, thick dick, and he was just so insecure about it. It's just like the insecurity that is so unattractive. Never. To constantly be like, oh, my dick is small. And it's like, just shut up. Just own it.
Also, just figure out the things that you need to do to make it better. Like,
exactly.
If you're like, I don't know. I've had sex with two guys who've had penises that curved in exactly the same way. And I remember the second time I was like, huh. And he was so good with it. He like worked with it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And he was like, he would even like check in and be like, hey, is this position comfortable? Because sometimes it's uncomfortable. And I was like, you're like so aware of it and you're working with it and you are making like very good lemonade.
Exactly. And he's not being like, oh, my dick is small. Oh, my dick is small.
What a lot of gay guys will do is they turn that into like its own like fetish. Like, do you know what a cock cage is?
No.
So it's like a metal thing that gay guys will put on. I'm sure straight ones do too. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It basically locks. It's a cage for your penis so it can't get fully erect. So it just like locks you in, and they usually have someone else like hold on to the key to the lock mechanism.
Oh yeah, that's the thing in the kink, the straight kink community,
and so,
as
like,
well.
So your dick is in a cage, and a lot of gay guys have this thing where they're like, "It's hot to me that I like don't have a dick anymore," and then I get like used because they're like being emasculated, and like that's a term.
Oh, I see. And, like, I mean, everyone has. There's so many things.
Gay guys are just so creative.
But also, right? Kinky people are so creative, you know?
So they walk around with their dick in a cage forever?
Not forever. You can't wear it for, like, a super long period of time. Like,
do they wear it when they're having sex? It's
yes.
Like, oh, I
so
see.
That it's like,
I'm assuming they're bottoms, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a whole group. I've seen this on Twitter. I don't know how common this is, but, like, again, gay guys get very creative on the internet.
Yeah, they do.
Where someone will be wearing the lock, and then someone will, like, put a strap on them. So they're like, you don't even get pleasure out of this. You're just, like, being used as, like, a fuck toy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Gay guys are so creative.
No,
yeah.
But straight kinky people do that, too.
Yeah, I know. I don't have as much experience.
I feel like the second you're, like, not the second. I feel like you get kinky enough, and it's, like, yeah. Oh, try anything. You know what I mean? You open your mind. And, yeah. Are you're straight, right? All the way?
I do think so. I will say, like, I trauma bond. So I've had some really fucked up, like, female friendships where I'm like, emotionally, am I a fucking lesbian?
Right.
I had one female friendship that was like, it was like 2 years, that was just, it was demented. It's like we were dating. And I've done that, like, that was the worst one.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done that other times. But, like, no, I've
but
never.
But no actual.
No, I just really. I feel like I should, but I also just used to be, like, very sexually repressed until, honestly, till all that stuff happened. And then I was just like, what's the point, Lindsay?
Yeah.
What are you? Just have fun.
Yeah.
But I must say, I don't have a big, like, urge to.
Yeah.
But maybe. You've hooked up with a lot of women, right?
Not a lot.
A lot.
But some.
Yeah. Do you like... Oh, I obviously like it if you're doing it. I was like, do you like it?
She was like, no.
Well, someone will do it once just to be like, look, eating pussy looks really hard. That's the thing. I'm lazy.
It is hard. It is hard. And also, I got... So, okay. I do like it. And I'm pretty gay. I'm like 50-50, I think. I always say I'm like 60-40 in one direction.
Do you like eating pussy more than you like sucking dick? Which is better? Which is...
Ooh.
Eating pussy. How much harder is eating pussy than sucking dick?
So, okay. I've also been question. With my husband for
Thanks.
A long time.
You should be on the internet.
And we've been closed for a couple years. I think since... No, I guess we were open a little after the pandemic, but not a lot. No, we were. We were fully open. I don't know when we closed up. A couple years ago. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
anyways,
yeah.
The point is I've only been sucking dick for the past 2 years, let's say. And also, like, 5 years ago, I decided to get really good at it. I just was like, what if I, like, learned how?
Yeah.
Like, I want to learn all the things and get really good. And every single trick that there is to, like, suppress your gag, I tried it. And, like...
Oh, really? Were you bulimic in college?
No.
That's the biggest gag. That's what I did.
Couldn't.
That's what I did. 4 years. 4 years, baby. More than 4 years. Like, yeah, no, that thing is long gone.
Yeah. I never could get any. I honestly tried to be bulimic for like 6 months and I could never do it. I could never make anything come up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like shoving my fist down my throat.
Oh, no. It's just
binge. And I was like,
dudes were like, awesome.
This is really dark, but you just use. No, I don't do. I didn't do that. I should say you just use like your diet, your stomach muscles.
Yeah. I think I didn't have the, commitment.
The commitment.
I didn't have the will for it, you know?
Yeah. You really, it takes practice to learn. Yeah. I will say, I mean, I haven't done it in a really long time. Good. But like the night the pandemic hit, I got shit face and I puked outside of an Uber and my friend was like, that's the cleanest I've ever seen someone puke in my entire life.
You're like, thanks, I have a lot of
I was feeling nauseous anyway from drinking and I was just so stressed out. I was like, oh, Lindsay, because I do sometimes when I was drinking, I rarely throw up from sickness, but sometimes when I was drinking, I get really excited. I'd be like, we're gonna do it real clean.
I was very shocked when I went to my brother's bachelor party last year, how many of his friends who I've known most of my life, because they're like his college and high school friends, like one of the like few nights we were out, just like we're like, I'll be right back, and then just like went to a corner of this yard we were staying in and just like puked and came back, and I was like, what? And they're like, oh, I just like pulled the trigger because I knew it was gonna happen eventually, and they're like, I'm good now, and I was like, what? And then they like kept playing drinking games and I was like, okay.
I've never understood.
I don't drink
that.
Like a straight guy. Because if I have to do, I've had to do that like a handful of times where I'm like, yeah. I know I just have to get it out of me. If I do that, we're done. Like, I have never rallied after throwing up and been like, yeah, fun night.
I think I twice.
I'm trying to think if I have.
I've puked from drinking twice.
That's
I'm not a big puker.
I was never, the only time I really remember puking, like, while I was drinking, like, was that night. And then, recently, I mean, when I was much younger, yeah, but I mean, college is hard to tell, because it was just all the time.
I think twice.
It's hard to differentiate. Yeah. Like, what was from alcohol, what was just for me? Yeah. What was just for me having a good night?
Yeah. Okay.
In all of the pictures from college, I'm, like, holding a drink. And I would always make, like, I would always shove my finger in my throat just for pictures. And I have so many of them.
You could have done the peace sign, you know. It was, like, a lot of things.
I would be like, and I'm like, wow, Lindsay, you're just doing your two favorite things at this time.
Like, you know, I have no gag reflex. Your passion.
Right. I'm like, what did I like doing? I liked throwing up my food and I liked blacking out.
You know, sometimes on this show, we have to ask people, like, prompt them to be like, what would you say some red flags that you want? Or you actually went ahead and answered for us. What are some green flags you have in dating?
For yourself. For myself.
Yeah. What are your biggest green flags that you think are, like, the best qualities for men to latch onto?
On with me?
Yeah.
No gag reflex.
No gag reflex. Nope.
Great pivot.
No gag reflex. Tight pussy.
Super tight pussy.
Are any of them not tied to trauma?
No.
I'm like, you're very
fine. I honestly, that's why, like, I haven't started using dating apps again. I like need to start. I've just been like hooking up because I'm just like, oh wow, Lindsay, especially like with the skeleton with flower arms tattoo. Mm-hmm. Like, I've hooked up with two guys since I got it, and they were both like well aware that it was there. It wasn't like, oh, you got a back tattoo, because it's like, what I feel like it's more of a red flag if I'm just like, yeah, just like of clear mind, I got a skeleton flower arms tattooed on my back. Like, that's a bigger red flag than being like, oh, I had a manic episode.
How many tattoos do you have now?
Well, I got, oh, and this is the other thing, so I got 7 tattoos in 2 weeks when I was really manic, and
yeah, that's a lot.
I got the same tattoo twice by accident. But here's the thing. But the tattoos have such a fucked up story. So what am I supposed to say? Oh, I got the same tattoo twice. But it's not. It wasn't just that I was manic. It was like, oh, I got gaslit to the point where I wanted to kill myself. I like laid in bed for 2 days. And I took all these edibles. And then I was so, yeah, I was told, get this. I was told that I was telling Giannis Pappas that the manager took advantage / assaulted / whatever the fuck that is me. They're like, yeah, you were telling Giannis Pappas that. And I was like, no, I wasn't. Giannis Pappas doesn't know who I am. He thinks I'm Rosebud Baker. He asked my friend that one day. He's like, I didn't know you know Rosebud. And he pointed to me and she was like, what? It was Tracy Carnazzo. She was like, that's
so funny.
And I'm like, so it's like, they're all such fucked up stories behind the tattoos. Because it's like, what am I going to say? Oh, yeah, I just accidentally got the same tattoo twice of Sound Mind.
Yeah.
And then, two, it's like,
what's the tattoo that you got twice?
Oh, I'm so bloated, so I don't want to like stand up and show.
Oh, you don't have to show. You can, you can show, but you can also just tell me. So
sorry. It looks like flowers. They're both flowers.
Okay.
And I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, too, it's like, what man is gonna even fucking notice that they're the same? I could just say nothing.
You could also say it's on purpose.
Right. That should have occurred to me a while ago. I should say that.
Well,
it's like the skeleton of flower arms is so fucking weird. I feel like it's a bigger red flag if I'm just like, oh yeah, I got a skeleton flower arm tattooed on my back. So I just love the Nightmare Before Christmas.
I guess you say that, but like, I don't know. People I have plenty of friends who are like borderline like goth or alt who are like tatted up.
Right.
And like, for them, they're like, tattoos are meaningless. They're like, it was fun and I got it because it was like cool or whatever.
Right.
Like, my friends who have a lot of tattoos are the ones who are like, tattoos mean nothing.
And, yeah,
like,
I have silly tattoos. I have tattoos like, I got because I had a dream. I feel like
you actually, with having seven, even if they are from.
No, it gets better. So seven in 2 weeks. Then I got the back tattoo.
Eight.
Yeah, and I got home from getting the back tattoo. I shit you not. I remember the plot to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And I was like, Lindsay, what the fuck? You got a scary back tattoo? Because you got.
I'll show you my friend.
What did you think? What did you think that was going to do, Lindsay? You think a man's going to try to assault you and he's going to say, never mind? That's a scary back tattoo?
You got a do not enter sign tattoo.
Right? I could have just gotten, I got raped tattooed on my forehead. It would have been more subtle. I got raped and then I almost killed myself and now I've.
That's a lot of text for your face.
Right.
You might want to like get it on your, yeah. On your
right. And
something.
So that's why I'm scared to use dating apps because I'm like, because it's so much of it. The tattoos are just like, obviously it's such a traumatic story behind them.
Yeah.
Is like, I just over explain. Does that make sense?
I would say stay away from Hinge then. Probably just go with Tinder.
Right. Hinge is just like, oh.
I
hate Hinge though. Anyway, Hinge is so stupid.
When was the last time you went on Hinge? Because it's gotten worse.
I've been on Tinder some actually, but I haven't gone on any dates. Hinge, before I quit drinking.
So,
but I never.
New method for Hinge, which is like evil. Now, anyone who has a job or isn't fucking hideously ugly is behind a full blown paywall. So they have a separate swiping section for standouts, and you have to buy roses to send to standouts. And literally, I saw one of my friends on there who, like, is in a relationship. Software engineer, does CrossFit every day in, like, insane shape. And I texted him a screenshot, and I was like, you're literally marked as, like, someone I can't swipe on. And he was like, I've had 15 different guys message me on my Instagram to be like, we cannot match with you on Hinge, but you're so attractive. Like, can we talk? And, yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
That's so weird.
And apparently it's much worse for women.
That feels very commodifying human
beings.
Well,
Hinge always had the ugliest people. I'm like, where did you find these people?
Well, it gives you hotties for like the day you sign up.
Right.
Tinder is at least a little democratic. My issue with Tinder is they do not follow the rules you set of distance. So every day on Tinder, I have
matched. Oh, yeah. You match with someone that's like 5,000 miles away.
Right. And it's like, why are you? Then they're like, I'm in Paris. And it's like, why? And they're like, well, I come to New York in 7 months for 2 days. And I was thinking I could hang out with some people when I got here. And it's like,
why are you planning ahead? Wait until you got here.
Also, just get on Grindr. If you're traveling, just find someone who's already in your hotel.
I'm so jealous of gay men with Grindr.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask, would you use a heterosexual Grindr? Because I feel like your answer is yes.
Yeah, I would, especially for my back tattoo. There's a darkness inside me now. There's a darkness.
You don't have, the tattoo doesn't have to be dark. You don't have, that can, you can just, it
can
just be.
You can just say, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But you don't want to say that.
I'm going to have to learn how to do that when I start.
Or just don't say anything about it. Then they.
Well,
you know.
What I do. So here's the thing. I initially was going to get it lasered off, and then I was like I said, I was like, you have to do a project about this because you know there's like other women who didn't realize they got fucking assaulted and like befriend the men who assault them. If I got kidnapped and kept in a basement, I would definitely fight to stay there. 100%. That's what I've realized.
To stay in the basement.
To stay in the basement.
That's a real good way for them to get them to let you go.
You're a Stockholm Syndrome kind of girl?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. For sure. I would definitely bond with my captors. Sorry, that was just me emotionally processing. But what was I even saying?
Green flags.
The back tattoo. Sarah, I can't explain the tattoos without. And that's
You don't have to explain them at all.
But how do you fuck someone and just be like, oh yeah, just ignore the skeleton of flower arms on
just
my back?
You don't
again,
say that.
If
just
they're already having
anything.
Sex with you, it's crazy. If
you just don't address it.
Yeah. They're probably going to be like, oh, cool, a tattoo.
If
and
they ask
going.
About it, then you can be like, look, I'm going to be honest. It's a little dark. It's a little traumatic. It's a little fucked up. Are you down for that? And they can say yes or no. But
and
if
then you'll
they
tell
will
them
not,
anyway.
But probably.
I will tell them anyway. Well, that's the other thing. I was like, I'm going to get on a date with someone who doesn't already know the story. And I'm going to be like, and I'm going to be sober. It's going to be like, so.
But on the first date, you don't have to tell them that.
No, you can lie.
But I will.
You don't even have to. You don't have to lie. Just say nothing. If they
just say nothing.
Ask, they like the odds.
Oh,
of
and
asking.
The thing is, there's more than eight. I got more. I got
again.
There's
yeah.
14. Well,
if you have 14 okay. tattoos, you have full license to be like, oh, it's just tattoos.
Yeah, I only have like six, and two of mine are very silly.
Yeah.
Oh, tough.
So maybe, yeah, maybe I'll just be like, yeah, it's just, I just like The Nightmare Before Christmas, yeah. And I did a lot of mushrooms, and...
So it sounds like you were not a dating app girl.
No, I used to be, and I want to be again, but I'm just like, you know, I don't trust men to not assault me, and I also don't trust myself to not, like, trauma bond to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's kind of like,
so,
you're not smart, Lindsay.
Okay.
You don't.
I think that's good, but that, okay.
I think self-awareness is good, mm-hmm. but let's say in a situation where you're maybe more ready for this.
Yeah. Well, I think I will be soon.
Yeah. Hmm. What are some things either you like to do as a means of flirting or you like that other people can do as a means of like kind of getting your attention, attracting you?
Well, traditionally being mean to me has been the best way to get my attention.
Okay. We
can...
But that's, but no. I got better though. I had my childhood trauma fucked out of me and I'm no longer attracted to mean people.
Okay. But we
Pedro.
Love that for you.
It's just, I had sex with someone who's really nice to me and I was just like, I, my whole life, cause like my mom was kind of mean. I've gravitated for whatever reason, I'm like just very attracted to people who are mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like,
I just had a weird realization.
Did you? And then like a trauma bond is, it's just when you like, well, in the instance of like the rapist and the assaulter, it was like an abuse that I couldn't cope with.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I formed this like emotional connection with them as a means of like just coping, being like, oh, my friend wouldn't do that. But usually when I trauma bond to someone, those were like kind of like outliers where it was like a really clear cut abuse happened.
Right.
Like a severe incident happened and then boom, trauma bond. Usually what happens is like I'm attracted to someone who's mean to me. A lot of times it's female friends too.
Mm-hmm.
It's either like not all my female friends. I've had a lot of really nice female friends, but like someone will be mean to me. And then like I just like attach to it because like, well, they usually start out nice and then they turn mean though, but that's who they are, mm-hmm. you know? And then your brain gets addicted to the cortisol of them being mean to you. And then when they're nice to you, like, cause they're occasionally nice to you, you know,
you get like a
hit of dopamine.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've always done.
I am attracted to people that make me feel like I'm winning. If they want to be with me. Like,
oh,
for
really?
Sure, that's a thing.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, if somebody plays hard to get, that will work very well with me. Where I'm like, oh, okay, they're not attracted to me. And if I get them, I win.
I have kind of, yeah, we have a similar thing, but I have the inverse where, like, if a dude is, like, snippy and shitty with me, like, on first entry, even if it's, like, playful,
yeah,
I'm, like, way more down. Like, a friend invited me to his birthday party years and years ago. And there was this dude he was friends with. And, like, the second I walked in, this dude made some sort of, like, snotty comment to me.
Yeah.
And I, like, kind of shot it back at him. And, like, we ended up bickering, like, for 20 minutes. And then within an hour, we're, I am not exaggerating, making out behind our mutual friend's back, like, physically behind him. And at the end.
Because he was mean to you?
because we were mean to each other and we were
there's
we were also into that. And then my friend literally at the end of the night was like, I am so glad you guys ended up making out, because we were like 50-50 on whether it would be that or you would actually hate each other and like end up in a screaming match. And I was like, cool. I was like, can you warn me before you treat me like a shelter dog?
Yeah.
There's also the comedian thing though of having a different definition of what mean is than the average person. Because I know I like to me
sneering each other, which we think is nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's usually like in the instances where I do it, it's like actual, I kind of like research like what is emotional abuse really, and I was like, oh, these are the things
that I'm attracted
that
to,
all these people have done. There's all like, because like it's not like they're all narcissists, but like everyone I've trauma bonded to has displayed like, because you know it's a spectrum.
Yeah,
it's not like everyone who acts like a narcissist in one situation is a narcissist, and a lot of times too I think with men it's just emotional immaturity.
Yes.
And it's an inability to like reflect their actions.
Okay.
And no, this is something that I think I've talked about on the podcast before. Right. But like women will, and this is my perception with female friends more so than obviously being in a relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like when women want to hurt someone's feelings, they will go for it. Men, I feel like, do it by accident. And then because they were like, I didn't do anything to you, they have a harder time like, one, processing that it happened. And two, apologizing. Because I feel like usually when a woman says, like, hurt someone's feelings, they were trying to. Or like,
yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And men are more careless and are like.
But I just don't understand. I'm like, why can't you, like, reflect your actions? Like,
careless or selfish, I think.
Yeah, which right. I think go
yeah.
hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because even, like, never mind. I won't go into my trauma again. But I have men that I'm just like, why didn't you just apologize? You know, why didn't you just apologize? And be like,
I'm out here.
I'm sorry.
Apologizing to lamps that I bump into, and you can't exactly. save this relationship women, with a freaking apology.
Women apologize like the manager. I'm like, you. All you have to do is say you're sorry. Hey, Lindsay, sorry. I didn't really. That was wrong
like,
of me
I'm
to
like
do
the
that.
Catholic Church. You confess. You apologize. You're good. Like,
exactly. I never understand that. Why people can't just like. I've dealt with that. Especially like I've dealt with that so much.
Yeah. It's so wild. The power dynamics right in a family change so much when you have a kid. Like my power dynamics with my parents, it's all flipped on its head because I now have this thing that they, this thing, I have this baby that they want to see.
Oh, so now you have all the power.
All the power. And with my in-laws too, it used to be like, you know, when we would go home, they're doing me a favor by letting me stay with them. I don't want to go home. I don't want to stay with them. But they're doing me this favor. They're putting me up. Now it's like, I have all the power. And it's so wild. My dad never apologized to me my whole life. He has apologized to me more since that baby was born than in 30
oh, really?
Years before the baby was born. It is wild.
Wait, can you give an example of a pre-baby non-apology and a post-baby apology? Because I...
yeah. Okay.
Where do your parents live?
In Massachusetts.
Okay.
Western. Like real rural.
I'm gonna steal as my mom baby. Would say. So
okay.
Just kidding.
It
I'm
is
not gonna
crazy.
Do that.
No, it's really wild. And I didn't know. Nobody like talks about that aspect of it. Like I knew there were a lot of things I knew. Like people were like, "Oh, you should deal with your issues before you have a kid." Like what I always say is like, heal that inner child before you have an outer child because everything comes up. All of your issues feel different. Like it's so wild. Like. Because on the one hand, I'm like, oh my God, parenting is so hard. Like, it's so hard. But then I'm like, okay, but I'm also like not doing the things they did. And that is easy. Like, it is easy to not do the shitty things they did. You know, I'm trying very hard. I'm struggling. Like, parenting is really hard. But it's like not that hard. You know what I mean?
Right. I feel like each generation just gets better in that regard. Because I'm like, I think about that. I'm like, because my parents like both fucked up in a lot of ways. I mean, my mom a lot. But my dad, even like after they got divorced, he's a boomer man.
Yep. Yeah.
And like, that's what was good about having like a manic episode. Cause like when I was doing my best, it was really bad. And it's kind of helped me be like, oh, he was doing his best. It was just bad.
It was just bad.
It was just bad. And I'm like, why was it bad? Cause I'm like, well, how shitty were their parents?
Yeah. Oh.
Right. And then I'm like, and how shitty were their parents.
I mean,
and then going back to like Victorian times, it's like, we're all just getting like a little better by like each
yeah
generation, and that's like honestly made a lot of it worth it, because I'm just like, oh, I'm so glad I could make, because like my dad, I used to have like a lot of resentment towards, even though like I love my daddy's like both my parents, but it like kind of like gave me that like forgiveness of like, oh, you just fell short.
Yeah. You tried your best with what you were given.
And, exactly. Yeah.
And both my parents were given a super shitty hand. Like they did way, way, way better than their parents. But I will give you, so here's an apology. My dad struggles with like certain, he's not a very, he's not a guy that you go to comfort you, right? Like you wouldn't go to your, like you wouldn't go to my dad to be like, "Oh, I'm boomer, right?" He's a boomer. Yeah, he's a baby boomer. And also like, yeah, he is a very emotional person, but he's not he's just not a comforting presence. But after my grandfather died, he did not reach out. He did not answer my calls for a straight month. Yeah. Because I think he didn't want to talk to me because he knew that I would probably be emotional and upset. And then he was like, okay, I'm ready to visit my granddaughter. And I was like, no, you haven't. You've been avoiding my calls for a month. Like, you can't just show up. Yeah. That's not okay. And he was like, I'm so sorry. 30 years he'd never apologize like that.
The one that I thought was so funny was my dad called me at one point after he'd seen me do stand-up for the first time, maybe. Like, something like that.
Yeah.
But he was telling me, he was like, you know, he was like, I'm so proud of you. Because he was like, I feel like I hear these stories from other people who I know had bad childhoods and, like, didn't have a great relationship with their parents growing up, and, like, how they kind of make it, like, a perpetual thing, and, like, it kind of holds them back from a lot of things. He was like, you've done a lot. And I was like, wow, that's really sweet. And then I thought about it for, like, 2 minutes on the phone, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry. Did you just say you knew I had a bad childhood?
Honestly, Tyler, you were telling that story, and, like, the wheels were turning in my head, too. Trying to piece that together. I'm like, was his dad, your dad told you that you did a good thing with your bad childhood?
Right, and I was like, Dad, you were very present for all of it. And he was like, yeah, I didn't know what to do with you. And I was like,
oh. How old was your dad when you were born?
My parents were 36 when I was born.
Oh,
I was the youngest. They started having kids at 30. And like,
What did they do bad?
My dad, honestly, like, full hindsight, he didn't do anything that bad. It's just my brothers were into sports.
Yeah.
So he knew what to, like, talk to them about.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I wasn't, my dad had no idea I was gay either, which is hilarious. Like,
oh, was it really obvious?
You didn't know either.
What?
You didn't know either.
Did your mom know?
My mom was, like, I wasn't sure, because I didn't come out till after college.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was, like, because neither of my brothers dated in high school or really college. So it was easy. I was on par with them.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
But it was just like a thing where like my dad was just like, I had no clue. He was like, I just thought you didn't like baseball. I was like, I mean, I don't. And he was like,
yeah.
He was like, can you date someone who likes baseball then? And I was like, what the fuck? Like, no, I'm not bringing in a makeup son. Like, stop.
Oh, I see. He wanted like a. I think that's like that happened in my. I think my dad, because like my mom moved out, and then my dad was just like, "Oh fuck! Like, what do I do with a girl?"
Yeah, but my dad just didn't really know how to relate to me when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
We're like a lot closer.
Oh, that's aww. Great.
Yeah, no, no. Me and my dad's great.
You bonded over your bad childhood. Yeah,
exactly. That's beautiful.
Well, that's beautiful.
It's also great, like especially the thing you were saying about like feeling for your parents a lot more, like.
Right.
I used to be a lot snottier to my dad in a fun way, because like he would love me. Like one of the first jokes I ever wrote, and I told it to him because I thought it was funny. Was
like, yeah, yeah.
You know, I tell all of my friends that you're my stepdad because it's not true, but it does explain the emotional distance between us a lot faster. He thought it was really funny. So like, we've always had that kind of like joke
yeah.
back and forth. But like the truth is, my dad is the only living member of his family.
Aww.
My grandmother passed away this past year. They did not.
I feel her on him on that.
His brother became schizophrenic at Stanford and like lost his scholarship and had to drop out of school. And like my dad has told us like he never met my brother. He's like he met a different person because like schizophrenia is bad. His sister committed suicide. She had bipolar. She was an alcoholic. And like my dad's like hero and best friend was his dad. And he passed away right before I moved to New York. My dad and his dad, despite everything that was going on around them, were always like the happiest people I've ever known.
Oh, and that's
like,
great.
So my dad is one of those people where, like, full hindsight, like, I was a little shitty to him as a teenager. He was also like, I didn't know what to do with you, so we were cool. But, like,
you didn't like baseball.
Right.
That's what was he supposed to do with that?
No. Literally, what is there to talk about besides baseball?
What is there to talk about besides baseball?
He literally.
Maybe if you cared about your dad, Tyler, you would have learned about baseball. Is that?
Oh, really?
Sorry. Well, of course I did. And then I tennis eventually, because he also loves tennis.
I wish I knew how to play tennis.
It's fun. I just watched Challengers, so now I'm
like, I like it.
What is that movie? What
bouncy.
Is that movie about?
Wait, what?
What is Challengers about? I haven't seen it. I know it's like, doesn't like Zendaya have like a threesome with two men?
So it's
no, I don't know.
This story told.
One is Zendaya, right?
One is Zendaya. And it's a story told in flashback.
I know.
They're all three of them, Zendaya, Mike Feist, and Josh O'Connor.
Yeah.
Are all at the same junior U.S. Open tournament. So it's like a huge deal. It's when they're 18. It's right before they go to college. They're all playing in it. Zendaya is supposed to be the greatest female tennis star of all time. These two boys are like positioned to go pro, and it's just kind of like the arc of their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Leading up to a challenger match at like a bumfuck tournament.
Oh.
All three of them are like kind of hitting the end of their professional careers.
Yeah.
Early 30s. Because one of the guys like went pro, has won like Wimbledon, French Open, Australian Open. Has never won the U.S. Open. It's like a sore spot for him.
Yeah.
He's like trying to qualify for it again. Zendaya had a horrific injury in college. Can't play tennis anymore. And the other guy is a professional tennis player, but it like isn't at the level.
He just sucks.
And it's just like, it's this weird like psychosexual thing because they were both really into her when they were kids. It's such a good movie. I'm also.
I'm going to have to go see it.
Ruined the whole movie. That is like the first.
Really? Okay, I'll have to go see this. That made me think of the Royal Tenenbaums, though. That movie's so funny.
It's very that, and it's
when Richie is
funny.
Like, is it Richie the tennis mm-hmm. player?
So yeah.
Also,
I love that movie.
To Josh O'Connor, the actor.
Let me Google him. Sorry.
It's empty. He plays in Challenger, Patrick Blake. So hot to me as like a bisexual man child who like knowingly is ruining other people.
I love when an actor who is not attracted to you, like who is not attractive to you, is attractive in a certain role.
Also,
that makes, I don't know why.
Is every single character in the movie at some point makes a reference to how big the dude's dick is.
Oh, nice. Movie. Which one?
Josh O'Connor, Patrick Swayze's character.
Nice.
And they never show his dick, even though there's a scene in a steam room.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because I like made a joke about this.
Yeah.
Know.
That's homophobic.
Why do they talk about it so much and not show it? And every gay guy who follows me was like, he's actually in this movie, God's Own Country, and we all saw it, and it's huge. And I was like, I don't care about the actor's dick.
I'm talking about
the character as a cinephile. He's like, oh, I want to see it.
Right. I need to see this character having a big dick.
Yeah.
But I don't know how we jumped from my dad to this actor's cock.
No, we've had a lot of big jumps.
I know.
We've had a lot of big jumps.
Yeah, let's. We're doing it. Let's do it.
Some time.
Let's do the game.
We're gonna play a game called Red Flag, Green Flag.
I have no green flags. We went over this.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's not for
it's
me.
Not your green flags. It's we're gonna say something that a quality that a man can have. You say if to you that is a red flag or a green flag. If it is neither, it's a beige flag.
Oh, you know what's funny? Okay, I'll say this really quick though. You know what I realized? I have one green flag, or I did.
What?
It was that I have my animals.
I was gonna say you're a really good dog mom,
and I have. And
I'm
I have two cats, but then the problem is I'm fostering a street cat. He's never gonna get adopted. Poppy seed is
I saw you trying to pot him off at the mic.
Poppy seed is not okay. Poppy seed has more trauma than me, and I didn't think that was possible.
No.
Poppy seed like runs away.
That's not a red flag. I mean,
90% of the time, but then I'm like, oh wow, Lindsay. So you took like your only little, like, oh, look at her, she's a nice little animal owner. And then you added a third cat.
Three out of four animals loving you is still a pretty good track.
No, but Poppy Seed, are you kidding? Poppy Seed loves me so much, though. He looks, but then it's like,
But three cats is different than two cats.
Three cats is a really, and a dog. Right.
Yeah.
Three cats is really like a statement, but also like, hopefully Poppy Seed gets adopted, but then I'm also just like, I'm such a dumbass because now I know. now I know it's there's no difference if I foster a street cat. And I'm like, I'm never gonna just, you know.
You're never gonna have just two cats and a dog again.
Have one. It's like my heart. I follow these rescue pages. And it's like, if anything, I want to get another street cat. And I'm like, Lindsay, you can't have two street cats. You can't. But he's so. Four. It'd be four. But I know. I know I can. I know I can. I know I should only have three.
Usually we ask our listeners if they can DM you to hit on you. I think the answer is no. But you can DM Lindsay to.
If you want to adopt.
If you want to adopt Poppy Seed and, you know. Yeah, yeah. I'm not even looking at the camera. I'm like, this is this has honestly been a reflection for myself.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, a red flag. People who don't like cats are sociopaths.
Okay. Has three cats of his own.
Oof. I actually. Why is he gay? Because he has three cats, Tyler!
A single man with three cats.
I bet he's close to his mother, too.
I love cats.
So, okay. Red flag for you.
Okay.
But then it's like, what could really happen? Because I could never, we could never have six cats in an apartment. It would have to be casual. If someone, right. like, if a guy had three cats.
Okay.
It's like, what future is there there?
Has one cat.
Green flag.
Green flag. Okay.
Gets everywhere on an electric scooter.
Ooh, that
not
is...
the not a Vespa, not the kind not you sit like on, this. The kind you stand on.
I would say before the back tattoo, I would be like, "What a red flag!" After the back tattoo, who am I to judge?
So is it beige or is it green?
Okay. Who am I to judge? Beige.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you're the first person who said that's a beige flag. That's so progressive of you.
Has wrestled an alligator.
I'm from the South, so that's hard. That's like...
Are you from North Carolina?
South Carolina. Again, okay. I want to say red flag, but it's like, I don't, was he manic? Was he having a hard time?
No, he was...
You know?
I love that!
Was he just having a really hard time and he wrestled an alligator?
Okay, let's not assume we're taking, like, charity cases on all these.
He okay. Wrestled an alligator. Honestly, I do...
Did it on a dare.
I do kind of like that.
Okay.
Fair.
Green flag.
Fair.
Carries a film camera in his bag at all times.
Oof. Red flag. Red flag. I don't like the artists.
You're matching up with one of our previous guests in a very funny way.
Ooh.
Lizzie Cassidy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Nice. Yeah. She liked the alligator too?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot.
HVAC technician.
What is an HVAC?
Like a...
AC.
Oh, dope. Can fix my air conditioning.
Yeah.
What is... Biggest green flag ever.
Yeah.
Like, you like a union man?
No, I wouldn't say that, but just could fix my air conditioning would be great. Wouldn't go that far. let's
benefits, no.
AC, yes. Yes.
I have health insurance. I have really good benefits.
Yeah. Cannot do laundry. Not does not. Cannot. Could not if faced with...
That's such a red flag. It's like, what is... How are you fully into adulthood not able to do your own laundry?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, oh, that means you're going to have to do it one day. You know? And that means if like, oh, if you're living with someone who can't do laundry, it's like, who the fuck does all the laundry?
Yeah.
It's also not hard to do laundry.
No.
It's so easy. I started doing laundry when I was like 12.
Yep. Same.
Yep. I had a roommate once who didn't know you had to put detergent in a dishwasher before you ran it.
Oh, Lord.
You know what I always say? You can tell how much childhood trauma someone has by the age they started doing laundry.
11.
You know, 11. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like 12. Yeah.
I had a stay-at-home mom, so she was doing the laundry. We had to do all the dishes and all the cleaning because she was like, I fucking cooked. She was like, you can get your ass in the kitchen and clean up everything that I just used.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. I was very on board, but like, my mom is also like, her house has to look like a model home. So like, our version of we need to do laundry was like, I mean, I do my laundry on like a week and a half basis probably. Yeah, my mom did laundry multiple times a day because she was like, there cannot be clothes that are dirty in the house.
I do laundry every day.
I do laundry.
Yeah.
She
had three.
Did you do laundry? Yeah. Did you do laundry every day before the baby?
No. No, I did not. See, that's true.
It's
yeah.
different.
Yeah. I also have laundry in unit though. So
It's also just like a flex. Oh, it's the best.
Do you have your dryer separate than your washing machine?
It's separate. It's a separate thing. They are on top of each other. And they're set up wrong.
What does that mean?
It's set up so that this is so boring, but it's set up so that it's very hard to drain the washer, and you're supposed to clean your washer and drain it every 3 months, and it's like very difficult because the washer's on the bottom, but they are separate. It's just a
nice.
We have in-building laundry, yeah. So I don't have to worry about it.
No, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you ever do have your own, put the washer on top or put the washer high enough that you can drain it.
Okay.
Just a little hot tip.
Mine are combined and it's honestly broken right now, so I have to wait for the repairman to come tomorrow, which is like, I hate it when they're like, oh, we're going to give you a window. And
I hate
just like,
the window.
They're like, we're going to give you a window day of.
Yeah.
And so now I had to cancel everything.
See, if you were fucking a repairman.
Exactly. That wouldn't be a problem.
So this is a hard red flag, green flag, because I have to basically find the thing. And so I'm just going to keep saying how often weeks.
Okay.
Doesn't wash their sheets once a week. Only washes their sheets once a week.
Okay. I'm like kind of disgusting. I don't wash my sheets that much.
Okay. But this is kind of what I want to get to. Because 1 week, green flag.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
I'm really bad about washing my sheets. I do it like every. I try to do it every.
But you're also. You're like a clean girl who
I'm
smells
also,
nice.
Yeah, I'm like a clean person. And
you
also.
You have multiple pets, though. And they sleep on your bed.
Oh,
but
true.
This is really mentally ill, and I don't know why I do this, but at some point, I'm sure it's trauma related, like when everything started to get really fucked up, I started just like sleeping on top of the sheets, on top of my comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And like I do it when I go home, too. And my dad's like, because the housekeeper like went to go change the sheets and she's like, I don't think Lindsay slept under the comforter. And my dad's like, do you not sleep under the comforter? And I'm like, not really. Except for in the morning when my cat bites my feet. Hugo, the brown one, he bites my feet when he wants his wet food. I give them their wet food in the morning so they wake me up. Like Hugo gets pissed. Hugo will be like biting my toes and then I go under the comforter. But I sleep on it's really psychotic. So I wash them like every 2-3 weeks.
Okay. Oh, you're doing great then. I'm on a 2 week cycle because I feel like that's human.
Yeah.
I think 3 weeks you're pushing it, and then less than that I am like, oh, you're a little dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, less than 3 weeks.
I was on a 2 week cycle. I'm now, it's a little more often. It's like a week and a half.
Well, you also have another person who can do the sheets.
I have another person who could do the sheets. Also, it's just, yeah, I got the cats and the cats are under the covers with us.
Mm. Oh, see my cat. Well, because I don't go under the covers. So right, just like, they're like, what is this?
Both me and the cats do. Yeah.
Aw.
I know. It's pretty cozy.
They occasionally eat cat food. Like they've tried it and they're like, there's a brand that I like.
Ew, that's so fucking weird.
Thank you.
That's so weird.
That is really specific. And is that from?
Is that something that happened in your past? That
no,
seems like
I
a trauma.
I was just thinking about it as like, because we've really been talking about cats the most this episode we've ever talked about cats.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet that was like, there's this like Beyond Meat cat. A dude posted that there was like a Beyond Meat cat food. And he was like, my friend tried it as like a joke. And now he buys it for himself fairly regularly.
You know what I did once? So I got Zelda these like Ben & Jerry's dog ice cream treats. And like they didn't have a lot of calories in them.
Like,
they're
wow.
only like 60 calories
each.
No.
I'm sorry. The like designer dog treat industry that is fully just selling like.
It was look, dog ice cream, Sarah.
They're literally
it
selling
was dog
like,
ice cream. It was dog
but
ice cream.
You know, but you know what they have?
It only
is
has 60
human
calories
ice
a cup.
They have yeah, human well, ice cream.
Human ice cream.
Probably cheaper.
Nothing tastes as good as Skinny Feels, but you get some ice cream.
Also, the this person only who said that did calories. So much cocaine.
I know.
But I will say I ate the dog Ben & Jerry's and I got very, did not feel good. It was not for people.
Okay.
I thought you meant you didn't feel good because you ate food meant for a dog. You meant it did something to your body physically.
Okay. No, if it didn't hurt me, I would have kept doing it. It only had 60 calories.
You really named a full circle moment on the podcast by accident when talking about dog ice cream, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was like ice cream.
For dogs.
That wasn't like dry cat kibble. It had a flavor.
Oh, I was thinking of like a pate.
What was the flavor?
No, it was literally a Ben and Jerry's cup. It was a cup of Ben and Jerry's, but it's for dogs, and Zelda wouldn't eat it because Zelda, you know what's so funny? Zelda and my girl cat Ophelia, they both like don't eat. They don't eat, and Ophelia runs. Because here's the thing. Tyler knows this, Sarah. A pet psychic told me that Hugo and Ophelia are my dead cats reincarnated. That's why I got Ophelia. And that's why I got Bengals. It's because of my allergies, but also, like, it was just easier because it's like, what am I going to email Beth Stern and be like, I need this specific kitten? Because a pet psychic told me it's my
cat. From now on, I think as a good rule for yourself, from now on, if something has the word pet before it, you don't try it for you. No more That's pet ice you. Cream. No more pet psychics. We got to get you on human.
Oh, I am meeting with the pet psychic next week to see what Poppy seen. What happened there?
No!
Sorry that I care!
She's going to need you to keep her!
Sorry that I care about my foster street cat!
That's not your foster street cat. That's your cat.
Yeah. No, it's That's a your foster. Cat. He's...
That's your cat.
He's no. His name is still Poppy Seed. Here's the thing about Poppy Seed, though. I think Poppy Seed would actually be. I fostered a kitten before him, and the kitten is actually like, he would be better off in a home with just one other cat that they become like a bonded pair. Because it's funny, he like will try to like rub up against Hugo and Ophelia, and they'll be like, "What the fuck, bitch!" Like they'll play with him. They'll play with him, but that they're like. Too far.
Okay.
But also, like, they're Bengals, so I just think they also don't show affection like that because I never see them do it.
Gonna be like they're racist.
I mean, they might know that he's a street cat. I mean, Poppy Seed is all black, and Ophelia is a little white.
You got racist cats, dude.
Well, Ophelia too hissed at him for the first like week and a half, and I was just like, oh my god, a white woman hissing at a black man. This is such a bad
in your home,
in my own home, and I was like, what kind of daughter have I raised?
Okay, red flag, green flag. They own a collection of leather.
What kind of leather?
Like, wearable. And also, like, some of it being vaguely, like, kink wear.
I don't know.
Beige,
yeah.
Or at least he has money.
Right, that's the thing. I'm like, he has money. Honestly, I don't know what I'm into. I was always very sexually repressed. Probably not that, but... Yeah.
Also,
you know,
I mean,
open to it.
There's worse things than having a bunch of extra leather stuff you could wear around.
Right. Unless my first thought was when you were like, oh, a bunch of extra leather stuff is like, what if it was made from people?
It's not. It's cow leather. We know for a fact he's not making human leather. That's one of the rules of the game. We don't initially assume that the person's a serial killer making human leather.
I do.
Yeah. Red flag, green flag, serial killer. No pausing, Lindsay. No pause. That's a red flag.
Was he having a manic episode?
No! It's a red flag. But if I'm in a bad place emotionally, it would be a fun, high-profile way to die. And there would be a Netflix special made about me. That's why I paused. How depressed am I? Maybe I want to die by a serial killer because then I have a Netflix special.
I will admit, I've told this joke on stage before. I once fully, like, on the street got a semi because I saw a man who was very big carrying a hammer, and I don't remember what he looks like. I just know that he had a hammer and looked like he could kill me, and I was like, what is wrong with me?
Okay.
I mean, were you depressed?
That's why
you just wanted to die.
Meanwhile, I'm very butch, so I'm the one that has all the hammers in my house.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the repairs of hammers.
Yeah, owns a collection of hammers.
I have one hammer. When I lived in Florida, I was really good at, and in South Carolina, I was good at hanging stuff up myself. But ever since I moved to the city, it's like the walls here are different.
They are.
Yeah,
like they're uneven.
Yeah, in my apartment, like one is cement, one is normal, and I'm like, I can't fucking do this.
Well, even in here, like when
it's a pain in the ass.
When I was putting these up, there's certain spots where the drywall is like thinner than others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they've covered it up so many times. So yeah. Like I have fully like gone to like put a nail in and it just like smashes through because I'm hitting something that's been pasted over with just like paint.
Yeah.
It's great. Anyways.
It's great.
I think that concludes
Red
Serial Black. Serial Black. Killer was the last one.
It talks about pet psychic tomorrow. We end with the same question every time.
What is it?
Who's so hot right now? Like who in pop culture, the world,
is so hot right now. Give me a minute to think. I'll think. Yeah, someone in mind and now it's left me.
Do you want to go? Do you have someone?
Yeah, do you have someone?
I was going to say Dua Lipa.
Okay.
Her album just came out. Also, like, Dua Lipa, do you know the origin of her work in music?
No.
She was walking through the streets in London, and someone came up to her and was like, oh my god, you're really pretty. Do you want to be a model? And she said yes. And then she was a model for 3 years, and then she was like, I've actually been, like, trained to be a singer since I was six. And they were like, we can do something with that. And they just got her in a recording studio. And then she toured with Troy Sivan. She is like, she used to open for Troy Sivan, which is crazy to think of now.
And she was a bad dancer, but now she's a good dancer.
He's the Australian, well, formerly South African Jewish twink from Australia.
Right.
Does pop music. I'll show you a photo later. And then unfortunately, because I just watched Challengers, I do have to say, Josh O'Connor.
I'll look
but
him up.
Only,
I thought that was the character's name.
But, no. Yeah, but
I love how you want to see the character's dick.
Patrick's name. No, well, there is, because he's bisexual in the movie. They like confirm that. And there's literally a scene where he goes into the steam room where he knows his friend is. And the friend's wearing a towel. This dude comes in with the towel over his shoulder, which any gay man knows what that means.
Oh, and what does that mean?
That they're DTF. Trying to get their dick sucked in the steam room. And he puts his leg up on the, like, seat of the steam room, leans over, and is like, it's really good to see you. And his friend is like, can you put your dick away? And it's just like, show us. Sorry. But, yeah, I would say those two. And, again, I don't think Josh O'Connor's that hot. He was just at the Met Gala tonight. The outfit he wore is not good. And I didn't think he looked good on the red carpet.
Oh, you know, I want to watch the Met Gala.
You know
I
who
love
looked
the Met Gala
good and who I'm going to say is so hot right now is Gwendolyn Christie.
That was a
one
great look.
The fucking the
who
whole
is she?
Red carpet. She's Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones.
Oh shit! How tall is she?
She's
tall. She's like 6'1".
Yeah,
she was on the Gautier runway.
She was part of that Pat McGrath like
I love the Met Gala
porcelain skin face thing. Zendaya also looked really good at the Met Gala.
I disagree.
I haven't seen her look yet. You know whose look I always like at the Met Gala is Blake Lively.
Yeah, she does a good job.
She does.
Yeah, Katy Perry James. Also showed up with a really, really good look.
I'm excited.
Oh, really? What was the theme this year?
Sleeping
Garden
Beauty's
of Time.
And it was archival pieces was like the rule.
Oh,
and
really?
People were very so. Like, I saw a post from Demi Moore's stylist of all people, because Demi Moore was there, and what they did was they were like, we found this archived silk fabric that took, they were like, we read up on it, it took like 11,000 hours to fully embellish. They were we sewed it onto this dress and made it like,
oh damn,
the applique. It's a very cool theme, and a lot of people did a very good job. I just don't like Zendaya's makeup with what she wore, but
I don't like it either. Also, Teyana Taylor,
she looks great,
so hot right now.
Yeah.
And always.
Who's Teyana Taylor?
She's the hottest
she's
person in the world. And
I
an actress.
I haven't seen any of the Met Gala looks. I'm so upset.
Do you follow any gay people on Twitter?
Josh O'Connor. Yeah, I follow so many gay people on Twitter.
Yeah, then you'll see them.
I know the Met Gala is like everything wrong society, but I love seeing the dresses.
I don't think it is. I think for me, the Met Gala is a tiny sliver of rich people being artistic. And like letting artists
doesn't it raise money
shine.
For something too?
Yeah, the Met.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So then it's fine.
Also, there's a really well. Actually, I don't want to blow up her spot. I know someone who works for the Met, but I don't know if that's who does comedy.
When Solange beat up Jay-Z
10 years ago now.
Well, you know what's funny? I once was saying to someone, I was like, Jay-Z's a bad husband, and they were like, no, he's not. He let Solange beat him up and just took it. You know, he never like came out and said anything negative about Solange. You know, he's kind of like, yeah, I fucked up and she beat me up. And that was.
I think he also has very good reason to be afraid of Solange.
Right. I love that he's afraid of her.
Yeah.
So wait, who's so hot right now?
Yeah, who's so hot right now?
Oh, woman. I mean, Taylor Swift is obviously having. Oh, she skips that. Blake Lively's not there. Fuck. What does it even matter?
Fuck.
Fuck. I wanted
my player isn't on the field. I don't care.
My player's not there. I mean, Taylor Swift obviously is having a good moment. And that's what I didn't mean to be mean to men. I was just like, Taylor Swift is a perfect example. She dated all these men who projected their insecurities onto her. And now she's dating just a moron who doesn't do that.
I did mean to be mean to men, and I will do it again. And if you're listening and that upset you, what are you doing here? Are you lost? Shoot.
Also, I also gone think now. Taylor Swift's boyfriend is pretty hot, and his brother.
Yeah, he's just so stupid, though. I'm like, couldn't she have found a man who's secure with himself who, like... But she's Taylor Swift. She's so intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, the only way she was going to find a man who didn't project his insecurities onto her was if he...
Didn't have thoughts.
Was maybe a little mentally handicapped. You
smooth
know?
Brain.
You know, any other guy would be, like, projecting his bullshit onto her.
Well... Lindsay, that's been the podcast. I'm not sure if we know what your type is. But
I have no idea.
No, I don't even think I know. Like I said, I was.
But I think that's exciting. We'll have to have you back after you go through a dating phase and you.
Like, yeah. After I. Right. Now that I'm attracted to men who are nice to me.
Yeah. Take notes.
Brave New World.
Yeah.
We're just going to mark it down as secure in themselves and nice.
With a nice penis.
Yes.
Right.
Lindsay, where can people find you?
Honestly, I'm not really posting on Instagram right now.
Don't find her. Leave her alone. No.
But only find me if you're not a sociopath. And, Instagram, Twitter, talking to my pet psychic about Poppy Seed, my foster cat. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I'm not going to keep him. I just want to know where he wants to go. What type of home does he want? You know,
there you go.
I just want the best.
Maybe the Poppy pet psychic will take him.
But maybe Poppy Seed knows where he's supposed to go, you know?
Maybe. I'm not a pet psychic, so I can't tell.
Yo, the pet psychic is so wild. She, like, knew everything the first time I talked to her.
I just saw a clip with Melanie. Who's that girl? Oh, fuck. Okay. I'm going to have a...
You got to describe them.
I know. I'm going to have a real mom moment. Okay, she's from New Zealand. Her name is Melanie. She was in The Last of Us, and she... has black hair. She's been in literally fucking everything, and everyone is surprised to find out that she's from New Zealand. You know what? Just cut. Wait, this
Bella Ramsey?
No. Okay. Melanie. I'm not gonna be we're able not to getting do it. fuck it anyways,
but
the point is
pet psychic.
Yeah, I'm supposed to meet with her tomorrow.
Lindsay talking to a pet psychic.
No, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. I'm not really posting right now, but I will be soon.
You're very funny on Twitter.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I don't tweet a lot these days.
What's your handle?
It's at Lindsay, LINDSAY, Tice, TheEis. Except for TikTok, it's at Lindsay Tice Comedy because someone had the...
Good.
And usually I'm not bloated. I just have my period. So that's why I have my jacket.
I usually am bloated. And if you don't like that, what are you doing here? Are you lost? I'm bloated and mean to men. And it's great.
See, but you can be mean to men now. You're like married. You made it to the finish line.
I've been mean to men, man.
I know. I've been so mean to men forever. That's why I don't understand everything that happened to me. I'm like, I'm so... Stay away from me.
Yeah.
It's...
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You get vulnerable or you're in a vulnerable mental state and men exploit it.
And on that note...
That's the podcast.
Bye!
That's the podcast. Men will exploit you. Good night.